December 28, 2021, month-end meeting at 6:45, and a regular town board meeting at 7 o'clock.
You all set?
Yep.
All right. We'll open the audit meeting for December 28, 2021. Can you roll call on that?
We don't normally.
Yeah, that's fine. I think we have a couple of vouchers that still require sufficient signatures. While that's going on, I just want to bring to the board's attention that at the board meeting, regular board meeting that will follow at 7 p.m. tonight, we will have on the agenda Waste Management New York LLC and their contract. As you're aware, the contract expires at the end of this year. My office has been in communication with them to see if they'd be willing to extend that while we get our RFPs together, which has no bearing on this portion of the discussion, but I want to make the board aware of that. We've had a couple instances where our transfer station staff, once in September, I know in November, has called for a pickup, and they arrive to make the pickup, and the transfer station staff says that, oh, it's not full enough. Well, we get charged for that, and we were charged $185 in September. They've increased the fee just to come to $250. We need to get a better handle on it. Our staff needs to get a better handle on whether or not there truly needs to be a poll, because, I mean, we shouldn't be spending that kind of money and that's not necessary.
Are we calling? And then
yes.
The same people calling?
Yes.
J.D.?
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Can you reach out to Mike for me?
Yeah.
And talk to him about when to poll.
The thing is, where are we at with our manager's position? That would be a good thing for a manager to take care of.
I haven't gotten any recommendations from the transfer committee.
I got a lot, though.
So, anyway, we need to make sure that we're not incurring those charges for essentially no service to our users down there. That's all I had for comment. We do have some resolutions for transfer of funds. We can either take those up now. Do you have all your signatures?
I do
have all. Oh, okay, we'll take them up right now. So at this time, that's this one.
Well, here, have that.
Be rid of that. I don't care what it costs. The first motion I'd entertain is to transfer $1,850.22 from account A1990.4, which is general contingent account, to account A1620.1, which is general building personal services. And this is to cover general town employee payroll. Includes like art. They picked up some extra hours this year for COVID cleaning. And so if somebody would like to move that.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Yes. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. We do have one absent council member. Next transfer would be $95 from account A1990.4, which is also general contingent account, to account A4220.4, which is general drug control. And the purpose of this transfer is to fund the payment of employee drug screens because of an accident this year we had in the highway. Our costs have gone up for those, so that's why we're shortening $5 for these screenings.
So moved.
Excuse me. Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 4-1, council member Noonan absent. Next resolution would be for $489.87 transfer from account A1990.4, which is general contingent account, to account A5182.4, which is general street lighting. The purpose of this transfer is for payment of general account lighting of bridges and roads.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 4-1. Council member Newman absent. Next transfer is for $12,451.68 from account A1990.4, which is general contingent account, to account A6460.4, which is general economic assistance. And the purpose for this transfer is for payment of legal and engineering expenses on townwide projects. For instance, this would include sewer and water projects that are not covered under grants or loans that we have. And we're involved with consolidation both in sewer and water this year.
So, second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 4-1. Or 4-0. Council member Newman absent. And these are additional resolutions to transfer funds. First one that I entertain is for $1,500 from account A1990.4, which is general contingent account, to account A6510.4, which is general veteran services. This is actually a pass-through. If you recall, we secured a grant from Saratoga County for our Legion, American Legion, and they utilized the grant as $2,500 in total to purchase flags and stands for cemeteries, which they have placed out there at the appropriate time of the year. We'll be reimbursed for this, but until we get the county money, we do have to pay for it.
So
second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Yes.
All right. Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0. Council member Noonan absent. Next motion that entertains for $1,955.07 from account A7310.1, which is general use services, personal services. To account A7140.1, which is general recreation personal services. And the purpose for this is to pay for recreation employee payroll. Not sure what happened there because we had budgeted enough money. If you recall, we did a transfer to make the purchase of grills at the last board meeting that ended up shorting the payroll account. Necessitates this transfer. Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0. Councilmember Newman absent. And the last transfer is for $21,570.50 from account DD5142.1, which is highway snow removal personal services, and the transfer to account DD5110.1, which is highway improvements personal services, and transfer of funds for the payment of highway employee.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0 with Councilmember Newman absent. And then I do have a couple resolutions to increase appropriations. The first one would be to increase appropriations by $126.05 to account PA5182.4. Which is the Palmerton Heights Lighting District. This is for increase the cover expenses for the lighting district. And we can roll them together if you want. The other one's for $101.19 to count RB5182.4, which is Riverview Lighting, also to cover lighting expenses. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? carries 4-0, and that's all I have. Are you all set, Dan?
I'm all set.
All right, I'm going to take a motion to pay the bills as filed.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Motion carries 4-0. Good. You're all set. And motion to close the other one.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much, Tammy.
You're welcome.
Do you want to transfer?
Sure.
All set?
Ready.
Okay, we're going to get started. I'd like to welcome everyone to Town Board Meeting here in the Town of Moreau for December 28, 2021, and ask the clerk to call the roll.
Councilmember Hogan?
Here.
Councilmember Van Tassel?
Here.
Councilmember Donahue?
Here.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Here. And if everyone would please rise for a pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, everyone. Item one on this evening's agenda is approval of minutes. And we have two sets. We have December 1st, 2021, which was a town board workshop on the subject of water consolidation. And then we had a regular town board meeting on December 14th.
Was everybody here?
I wasn't here for 14th.
For 14th. So we'll take them separately. The first one will be someone like to move approval of December 1st.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The next one is the minutes for December 14th, 2021.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I abstain.
All right, motion carries. Item two on the agenda is a COVID-19 update. Would like to provide the public with a little bit of information. As we know, COVID-19 continues to its upward trend, certainly here in Saratoga County, as well as throughout the state and nation, and actually throughout the world. And some of the numbers that I have as of yesterday, I just want to share with the public. The percentage of breakthrough cases among fully vaccinated population in Saratoga County is currently 3.7%. The percentage of breakthrough cases among fully vaccinated population that were hospitalized is 0.1%. And then the associated deaths from those that have been fully vaccinated is 0.02%, demonstrating and confirming that how critical it is for people to get vaccinated as well to receive the boosters. The individuals that in Saratoga County that have been hospitalized, that had received their booster. One individual in the county has died, and the number of deaths by those individuals that were hospitalized that were not fully vaccinated comprise over 83.5% of the population. Here in the town of Moreau, we currently have 73 active cases. In the village of South Plains Falls, there are presently 19 active cases. A couple of points I'd like to make that approximately 97% of hospitalized Saratoga County residents in the last 4 weeks were either not fully vaccinated or, if fully vaccinated, had not received their booster. Similarly, approximately 95% of the recent COVID-19-associated deaths among Saratoga County residents occurred in individuals who were either not fully vaccinated or, if fully vaccinated, did not receive the booster, N36. While COVID-19-associated hospitalizations can lag, the data do not show a rise in pediatric hospitalizations that has been reported elsewhere in New York State during the same period. Saratoga County Public Health Services will continue its active surveillance efforts to identify any change in the rate of pediatric hospitalizations. We'll leave it at that for this week's COVID-19 update. Item 3 on the agenda, we have representatives from NEXAMP that wish to address the board regarding proposed developments in our industrial park. And I know we have Michael and Jared with us, as well as, I think on the line we have Liza
Chess.
Yeah, so I don't know if she...
Let me see if I can get her to...
Matt, oh, sure. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Can I get an extra copy for... We have a copy number that's not...
Thanks, sir.
Just got a blow up with Matt as well, because I have it in here, but this will make it a little bit easier to see.
Was it Michael?
Yes, Michael.
Yeah, I don't have these are joining the session.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'll keep checking it.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I know she had a personal matter. I wasn't sure if she was going to make it or want to go for it. She had that. Would you like one?
Sure.
All right, well, thank you. I know you only have about 10 minutes on the agenda tonight.
Thank you.
My name is Michael Cucciara from NEXAMP, Vice President of Business Development. I've been with the company about 6 years now. What I'd like to do, since several issues, I think, as we've been going through the planning board process, have come up, and the planning board has really been asking me to get in front of you all and sort of get your thoughts on and figure out a path to get comfortable with certain questions around the project, primarily around decommissioning and the right-of-way easement. And I think that would kind of set forth our ability to get approval for this project and move it to a successful project that benefits the community, the landowners, and the town as well. Just quickly, NEXAMP, you know, we've been in business since 2007. We were founded by two Army veterans that came home from wars overseas and really were committed to following up and developing renewable energy in the United States. In New York State, we've grown from a real regional company in Massachusetts to a national company at this point over our 14 years in business. In New York State itself, we've been active here approximately 5 years. We've developed 150 megawatts of projects that represents about 30 projects currently operating across the state, another 30 projects in currently in construction or development, which should bring us up to about 300 megawatts. One thing that really, I think, sets us apart from other developers is that we are not just a developer or a construction firm. We own the projects from start to finish. We develop them, own and operate them, get our subscribers, both residents and large off-takers, corporate off-takers, municipalities, and we stay with the project for the life of it. That's our business model. So I think I'd like to say that just because some of the topics here, especially sort of long-term plans to decommission at the end of the life, is important to know that, you know, NEXAMP would be the owner for the long term, and that you would not be bouncing around with other entities trying to figure out who's responsible for what. To get into the project itself, we have a large map here. This is our final version presented to the planning board on the large format plan I shared with you. This is a 2.5 megawatt AC solar project. It's a tracker system. It's actually tracks with the sun east to west to increase production. There's no battery storage on this project. It's approximately 13 acres of three lots in the industrial park. We walked back there, Councilman Hogan, a while back, and we were looking at one of our first access points we were coming to the town with. You know, these lots are part of the industrial park, but given their location past the right-of-way for National Grid power lines and the presence of wetlands and a stream back there, there's not. I think this is one of the lower value uses probably in the park, and so solar suited, I think, suited the owner certainly. A good way to find revenue from this site and use the remaining lots that it owned for more you know, profitable businesses and job creating businesses that they could bring to the park. So it kind of coincided nicely. We built a really good relationship with Monroe Industrial Park LLC and been working with them, you know, for almost 2 years now on this point, getting this project to where we are today. You know, a couple other nice parts of this project is that it's naturally screened from the neighbors. It has its own tree line back there. It's got a right-of-way there. It's pretty hidden from public view and should not be, and it has not been, certainly, to the planning board, a controversial project. And then long-term, once the project is built, we're going to be on site 2 to 3 times a year for routine maintenance and operation. And outside of that, we're pretty much a quiet generating facility inside of the industrial park. Where we stand with the planning board right now, we have completed SECR. We have a negative declaration from the planning board. We've closed our public hearing. And right now, they did not want to proceed with a vote. We did vote, and we didn't have all the votes to approve without some outstanding questions on decommissioning. And that was really their big piece. So I'll pause there if there's any questions. I don't know how much you've heard of this project. But if there's anything as far as the planning board process or the design, I'm happy to answer any questions if that would help.
So I don't think the board has been apprised of exactly the issues that the planning board has. You talk in general terms that this is relation to the decommissioning plan. Is that their only concern?
Yeah, so I think that was what was told to me at the last meeting. Really, the reason why they didn't want to approve it was because the decommissioning. So we had the town engineer. We had a public hearing. We worked with the town engineer. They issued two letters. The first letter, we addressed all the comments and concerns. The last two revolved around the salvage value, so the total cost, which actually in their notes, and I flipped it on page 9 here, basically it was, we have a small amount, about $8,000 of salvageable panels at the end of this life, approximately, I think it said $8,000. Their question, the first question the engineer had was, well, are all those panels going to be here in 25 years? Thinking that over time they would break and they wouldn't be salvageable, we explained to them that, you know, our business is to operate this at its highest production possible. We monitor these products 24/7. We have a module replacement program. So if modules are broken, we're going in there and fixing them as soon as we can to make sure we're producing the power we need to be profitable. So I think they were okay with that. I highlighted a section here. Basically, they kind of kicked it back to the planning board. They didn't have any comment. They said, therefore, this assumed condition may be acceptable to the town. I believe the planning board was okay with that. Where they didn't want to make a leap of faith was on the decommissioning bond. So what we proposed, so let me just take a step back here. LaBerge saw our proposed cost, which was overall $261,502 for the surety, and we posed the surety. And that includes the decommissioning, contingency, legal, and then escalated the decommissioning subtotal for 2% out to 25 years, which is the initial term of the project, and came up to 261.
I'm sorry, did you say 25 years?
25 years, okay. Yes. And so that's how we arrived at that final number. So it escalated it for potential inflation.
Okay.
Real inflation, I guess we're going through now. Hopefully not as long. What they came up with, so if you turn to page 11, I think when they looked at our bond form, I think what got them stuck on this was that there is one comment, and this is something we can't change with our bonding company. So this is a one-year renewable surety bond. Basically, they issue it 1 year. It automatically renews upon commencement of construction or the anniversary of commencement of construction. And us as the principal would be responsible for renewing and delivering that to the town every year, showing that we have a surety in place. Their business, they tell us that this is standard on their documents, that they want to have, but there's fine print in there that says they can cancel or terminate the bond with 60 days written notice at any time. And I've gone back to them because this has become an issue before. I said, can you change this? They said no. They want to have that right. Should they want to get into another business line, they want to move their money into different, insuring different types of projects, they want to have that ability. Now, what it doesn't mean is that if they removed it, any issue that happened while that bond was in place, still you would still be able to collect on that. And so, you know, it's not like they just pull the rug out from you one day and then you have no recourse. What I'm hoping that we can come to an agreement on is that, you know, NextAmp would provide this every year. If it was not provided, or if the surety company decided they were going to pull that bond, that we would have basically our certificate of occupancy or some other method where the town could restrict us from operating the project until we've posted a cash bond at that point or replaced it with a different surety bond. Just to give you some background here, this is also, in my mind, a second layer of defense. We have a lease in place with the landowner. In there, we have a decommissioning condition. So they would be the first one that would seek remedy if we did not decommission this. Really, this is a backup for the town. And I think primarily where towns really want this is in an area where it's going to be high visibility in a more residential setting, where they don't want a failing project just sitting out there. To me, this is a kind of a second line of defense. It provides the town surety that there'd be money available to draw upon. And I think if you put it on us and our certificate of occupancy or our right to operate, that we have to have the surety bond in place at all times, we certainly would comply and either replace that or come up with a cash bond. The reason why I'm asking is that, you know, these projects are, they have pretty tight margins. $260,000 in cash up front does hurt the project. And, you know, so what we were hoping was some consideration for the surety bond, perhaps based on this presentation, and after review with your attorney, I can get the town attorney, I can get them the full bond, we can go through it and review. But the bond itself relates to the decommissioning plan that was, reviewed by LaBerge, and really the only two comments remaining were the renewal of the bond and the ability of the surety to pull that at their will. Those are the two issues, not the cost, not the plan. So they would sort of tie together. You all probably know about surety bonds, but I'm going to explain to you. So I think that's the first step of, you know, the first big question I want to get in front of you and then answer any questions. Before I do, like I said, we've done this in over 25 towns. I'd say and growing as these projects start to enter into construction, more and more of these will be issued. Our closest potential reference is in Fulton County, Johnstown. We've been operating a project where we commenced construction in 2019. We've done two renewals, I've got a third one coming up this year. And the company we work with is Philadelphia Indemnity Insurance Company. They are ranked by a third-party AM Best. They rank the surety companies that are independent. They review their ability to actually pay on obligations, and they have a superior A-plus rating. And we've been working with them across nationwide, all of our markets. We have a $20 million single project cap and a $40 million aggregate surety program with NextAmp Inc., which is the owner of Bakersfield. And certainly we can put the town attorney in touch with our representatives at Philadelphia Indemnity and us, and hopefully we can work something out that would be suitable. I don't know if I should keep moving or if there's questions.
I'll just ask you right there.
Sure.
Does any board member have any questions?
I would.
Councilmember Mendez.
So you've done X number of other projects. All of them with the same surety on?
Correct, with the same company. All the bonds that we have done have come with Philadelphia Insurance. Yes.
But also a surety bond.
Yes.
Not the same 1 year renewal term. So it's not the only way to do the bond.
Exactly. No, it's been with the same terms that I'm presenting here tonight.
And how did those towns or municipalities work around the challenge that our planning board is raising the concern?
Sure. No, I mean, they raised concerns. We've had similar conversations that I'm having tonight. I put them in touch with the bond company. I think that gave them a level of comfort. Their attorneys looked at it. They made edits where they could, so they got more comfortable and red lines. I know those terms will not change, but I think there were other items and other, you know, points they were able to put in there that made them comfortable with it. And I think, you know, certainly I think also knowing Nexant's business model, that we are the operator and owners of these projects, really helped knowing that we're going to be in the community and the main point of contact going forward.
Any questions?
Okay, thank you. So we'll let you continue on that.
Okay, sounds good. All right, so the next question, the next big issue that I have to work with the town board on, I think this is less of a concern for the planning board, because in their minds, what they told me was, we can give you approvals, but if you have your right of way, you can't build it anyway, so we don't care. You have to figure that out with the town board. In the larger map that I showed you, our access road is proposing to use a paper street, which I believe was deeded and perhaps dedicated to the town, for entrance and access to two parcels. Here, I believe it's lot 15 and lot 18, which are owned by the town of Marone, and the lots to the south of them, which are owned by Marone Industrial Park. What we were proposing was to use that access road, and I think I sent to the town board our typical utility and access easement. What I heard back from the town is that, you know, we didn't want to set precedent as far as, you know, issuing easements across town lands. My argument to that would be that, you know, this is a paper street, and we're actually trying to get to use it its purpose. When I had walked with Supervisor Hogan maybe a year ago or so, we were looking at another entrance point that actually did cut through town or a parcel. And I understand that now, after talking, I understand, you know, we would impact what you could actually develop. But here, the purpose of this area is for access. The other reason why I'm having trouble finding a place to enter this site is that we sort of have to thread a needle in that right-of-way, the National Grid right-of-way, which is right between lot 15 and our project. Where we can cross, we have to be a certain distance between the towers due to line sag and safety concerns. So really, I only had sort of two options, and one is using the paper street currently proposed here, and another was another location which actually did impact lot 15 and 18 directly. So I think, you know, in thinking through this, one thing I was hoping to propose to the town, and by no means I make no assumptions, but on my page 15, I actually have on page 14, I have the town specifications for a public right-of-way, a public road in the town borough. And what we were hoping to do is be able to work with the highway superintendent and with our engineers. What we propose is that next time we build this road to town specs to a certain level, to the sub base, which is a gravel, 12-inch gravel road using DOT 4-inch gravel. That's good enough for our typical project. It's not much different than what we typically build on a project of this size. We don't pave roads. We just kind of keep gravel roads really for construction and then, pickup truck use for operation and maintenance. What we would propose, we would build that at our expense, the 28-foot wide road from Farnham Road to the National Grid easement. And then from there, we would get our National Grid easement and then have our own internal road on the site. We would install the stormwater and sanitary sewer, anything that was required by our SWIP. And then once the sub-base is fully installed to the highway supervisor's liking and approval, we would then want to figure out a way, do we need an agreement then to use this for construction operation? Does it become a public road? Where I'm looking for a compromise here is sort of the town responsibility. And what I was hoping to have is if we could stop at the gravel level, we could use it until such time the town has a tenant for those other lots, the town then would pay for any pavement, road studies, anything that needed to sort of finish that road. So we would sort of get you halfway there, it would give us access, and you would have a base then to pave and have a road that would, you know, increase the value of those lots for development down the line. And so that's what I'm proposing tonight as an initial opportunity for us to work on, or an agreement we could work on. But this certainly would help us thread that needle, get to our access point, and get to our site. The other thing I would mention on this, what we would need, if you look at the map, the other issue that we'll have to figure out is at the end of this road, we would need area for 5 utility poles, and those are our interconnection points. Typical poles that you see along the highway carrying 3-phase power, we can situate them on the Moreau Industrial Park side of the road, but we would need sort of access to plant those poles. That would be our interconnection point at Farnham Road with the National Grid infrastructure that we're tying into. So those are, that's our proposal. That's kind of the scope of what we're hoping to do. And certainly, if we can come to agreement, we would be open to that and would allow us to complete the project.
So a couple questions.
Certainly.
Those aren't the poles that I see now. And here, are they, or are they?
Yeah, so if you look here, there's circles at the very end towards Farnham Road. Those are the poles, yes.
So that's 7, right? 7?
It does look like 7. It's typically 5. I'll check back with you. I don't know why there's...
Okay.
Yeah, it is. I wonder if there's one that's an existing pole that's already there, but it still doesn't resolve my 6 pole.
But there's 5 that are equally spaced and 2 at the end a little bit.
Yep, so
maybe they're there. Yeah,
those might be existing poles there.
So, tell me let's say the town has no interest in those. What options do you have at this point?
My only other option, perhaps, and this leaves me in the same situation, is to move the road onto Moreau Industrial Park land just inside the lot line. And I can still kind of thread that needle, but I'm going to clip, if you look, there's sort of a cul-de-sac there.
Yep.
And I'm going to clip that section and have the same issue with you guys.
Oh, okay.
So, either way, so for me, I'm thinking, why not just use the road and just find a way that we could all work together on it. That's really my only other opportunity at this point, without going back to the drawing board of design, because the way this project is designed currently is based on entering in this approximate area. If I move the road even further over, I'm going to have to kind of redesign this and potentially have to go back to the planning board. So that's really my only other option.
Do you have any of your projects in other municipalities located in industrial parks? Or are they all on outside their heavy industrial areas?
Yeah, no, usually private farmland, vacant land. We have some municipal projects on landfills that we're currently constructing, but we have not done one in an industrial park.
Have you ever had to secure a utility right away?
Yes.
Municipal project?
Yeah, we have. We work with National Grid. I know these are pretty challenging. They usually take about 6 months. Mm-hmm. It's another reason why I'm actually coming with this proposal is that we are sort of midway through. We went ahead and asked, we want to get that started with them, assuming we can find some type of agreement. We've done it before. It does take a while, but we probably have to go back to the drawing board if we were to shift significantly. But we have done this. We've done this in Jefferson County, as well as Schenectady County as well, doing the National Grid, we call the PTR process.
And what's your timeline for your project? What you're hoping to be in right now?
Sure. Yeah, what we'd like to we'd like to hit financial close by the end of the first quarter, so by April, start procuring materials and likely building sometime in the early summer, I'd say June or July. We probably take approximately 9 to 12 months to be fully operational. Usually it's about 9 months to build a project of this size, and then we leave about 3 months for the utility to tie us all up and then us kind of finish. So hopefully by summer of 23, we'll be fully operational.
Do you ever offer kind of as a trade-off instead of building the road, like a host benefit package to the municipality?
Yep, and we do. And certainly would be open to that if that's a preferred solution. And, you know, yeah, we've done it, and, you know, I can see potential solutions to this is if we build a road, typically if we don't build the 28-foot road and we just build what we need, and then you can kind of come over it when you want and use some of that money for that purpose, we would be open to that as well.
And with those host benefit packages, are they like an annual allotment? Is it a one-shot? How are you usually structured?
You can do it either way, but usually it's been up front. It's usually at a building permit. And typically, I'd say those also include some consideration on pilot amounts as well. I haven't done one for a right-of-way, but we're certainly open to that.
Okay. Any questions from the board?
Couple more real quick. Mike, on page 15, can you speak to the county responsibility bullets that you have there?
Sure. So in talking to my engineers, some of the high cost items or long lead list items were the stormwater and sanitary sewer components of that cutout sheet there. We just felt like that would really raise the cost for us. And so wanted to find some way, you know, we would not need such heavy infrastructure for what we're building. And so we're thinking, you know, if that's somehow we could split that with the town, you know, we would certainly install that, but the stormwater and sanitary sewer, as shown in that design, could become pretty cost prohibitive for us. I think since we're out there building this subbase, if we had that material, we could install it. It's just we were looking for some type of compromise there. And then Liza, who is a civil engineer by trade and now a developer with us, one thing she had a question on, this is maybe for the highway superintendent, is that there's typically studies, and which may take time and money, and those we did not think, you know, we would not have to do that if we just built our own road. And so if it's a town road, we would hope that, you know, the town would be able to partner with us on that.
In reference to the paving the road, if the wind in the road would have to be paved, this isn't a contingency requirement. That,
yeah.
In context, you're talking about if it were to be paved, it would be county responsible.
Yeah, we want to get to a point where you can come in and pave it at your convenience and your time of choosing. But that we've put in the base for you and everything you need there, and then once it's ready for you to approve, then it's all suitable. And in the meantime, we're able to use it for our own use.
One last question. Have you been engaged or spoke with our highway superintendent?
I have not. I've been sort of, I don't know, back channeling, but I've been speaking with Jim Martin on the planning board. I know he had mentioned this to him. So I'm just looking for an opportunity to reach out to him. I want to speak to you first.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Just on this is the larger street. Electric Street, the paper road, and I know that it's down there at Farm, all it is like a curb cut that's there, and that's it. I mean, if you come down through, there's a little bit of curb, and then where this street would be, there's nothing, it's just open. This looks like it's going to be carried all the way out. Is this on the edge of two of our parcels or four of our parcels? Based upon this map, I'm looking at the dotted line here that's around this area. Is that the road that goes down through there? Is that coming? Are you coming through what would be lots, or is it on the edge of the lots?
No, I believe the way if you look, you can see the light outline of that cul-de-sac at the end, and I think it's like right. So as it approaches the actual facility, you see that circle?
Yeah.
Sort of highlighted? So our road looks to be, it is inside of that right away. There is a structure here as a stormwater basin that is really more, I believe it's impacting the Marone Industrial Park lot. But that's what our current SWIP, and assuming this was before we started discussing potentially building this road out fully, perhaps with the actual sewer system that needed to be installed in there, we would not need this at this point. We'd have to go back and reevaluate. So yes, I think to answer your question, the road should be fully within the easement, but that stormwater basin probably does spill out onto Marone Industrial Park land.
And there's also, like, down in that general area, there's a pond. I think it's closer to the end of Barnum Road, where the turnaround is,
mm-hmm.
the sewer pond is, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's,
any other questions?
So my question is, is there really a need for sewer out to here, or to the other properties that are there, that's a concern for sewer?
Well, it's more of an access issue. So the town of Monroe owns lot 15 and 18.
Mm-hmm.
If we couldn't get back to the back lot, that's kind of a problem for us. And so there's several moving parts here. I've had recently had conversations with individuals that have interest in those lots and may want to buy both of them,
mm-hmm.
which kind of makes the paper road kind of move for down the road. And then it becomes just, if we were to, not require that road to be built or put it in ourselves, then it becomes, your company interfacing with the new property owner, so to speak. Certainly, that's not on the time schedule that you just articulated to us, so that probably be problematic. But there are, I think we need to talk with town council on it, town attorney, should we say, our engineers on it, make sure that, with the options that you have offered us this evening, that we are doing everything within the confines of number one, our authority and what we're legally able to do. Mm-hmm. So, we can't give an answer tonight, obviously.
Sure.
But we can begin those conversations, bring it back to the board for more discussion, and then report back to you. Obviously, we'd let you know when it would be back on the agenda.
Okay. No, that's fair. I appreciate the opportunity to talk tonight.
As far as the power lines coming out, you've got what looks like several poles out for the front of the road. Is it overhead lines that come through from
somewhere? No. So they would be underground from our project up until that first pole, and then they come up above ground. So it would be all trenched underground. And right now, these poles are situated on the town of Monroe side. There's no problem moving them to the other side, so they definitely don't impact that. But that's just how it's currently designed, and okay. That can be changed. But yeah, it'll be underground up until that first pole.
And I guess my concern with this underground power is having sewer underground as well. We can't run sewer on that same side.
I don't know what the requirements are for depth or anything. Or separation.
Okay. Yeah.
I that would be something that we want.
Yeah, to obviously we've got good answers.
Right. Might need to be if it goes along the center of the other side of the road.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's something, that does not have to be necessarily in a straight line. I think it's something we can work out with Marone Industrial Park. Should we have to bury them on their side and work our way back? It's really just our road access has to kind of be in line. But the medium voltage line can be routed in different ways.
Okay.
Thank you. Real quick, do you have an extra plan? Yeah. And is there anything you presented here tonight that the planning board hasn't yet seen?
Yes, so I'd say the discussion around us, we've discussed it very generally, but sort of our more concrete proposal on what we'd be willing to build is relatively new, although we did kind of touch upon it with the planning board. And then I just added some further detail on decommissioning, but pretty much everything here they know and have seen.
If the town attends a surety bond, will you pay for the reasonable attorney's fees for the town's attorney to do that?
We can do that. Sure.
No question. So we're thinking about the decommissioning. And the way these solar panels are being installed, are they going to, they're going on fence so that they can change direction with the sun?
Yep.
So they're single pole versus like aluminum ranks out there.
Yeah.
And how much concrete is actually being utilized in the ground?
Great question. Very little concrete. The only concrete that'll be there will be at the, there's a little square box on the right hand side. That's an equipment pad for a transformer inverter, maybe 100 square feet or so of concrete. So very little concrete. The road is gravel, that's currently composed. And those you have the solar facility out front,
right.
And you're right, and that has the full frame. Those are probably screwed in. I don't know if they have concrete, but ours do not. What we use is about a 7-foot screw that goes into the, screwed into the ground and can easily be drilled out. And then on top of those screws is racking that comes up in a big bar. And all those panels sit on that bar and like this, and they rotate with that bar east and west. So actually removal is fairly simple. It's taking that road back up. It's pulling those screws out and just, you know, basically taking it off like a Lego set. And, you know, the concrete work is fairly minimal. And it's one reason why we can kind of keep our stormwater management pretty minimal. We don't need to.
All right. Okay. Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. Appreciate it.
Happy
New Year. Thank
you.
Well, you've been asking for a long time, so we've doubled it up as well.
Yeah, I certainly appreciate it. Look forward to talking in the year. Thank
Definitely.
You.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Next item on this evening's agenda is the annex building lease. We had discussed this at the last board meeting, and board members had questions. My office reached out to Head Start, and yes, we have the paperwork as to their official name change of LifeWorks Action Community Action Incorporated. And they did indicate when they said a flat fee of $14.50 per month that was a mistake, that they meant to offer $16.50 a month, which is what they currently pay. They're under a 5-year lease that expires in the next couple of days, where there was an escalator in that of about it was $100 per month the first year we did our lease. They paid $12.50 per month, now they're paying $16.50 per month. So they would like to keep it flat at their current rate, and instead of having a 5-year proposal, do it for 3 years, but they're also open to reviewing, see if the $16.50 works for the town and works for them as well. In 6 months. I know that the town attorney had a few questions in relation to access to the basement during the renovation period for work on the furnace. So we don't need to act on it tonight. Is there any direction you want me to go on behalf of the board based on this new information?
Do you have any revised needs for council to review?
We do not. That would be put together based on the terms that the town board directs her to include. I mean, she could have it for the next board meeting.
And I know that there's one other question here, but it wasn't, that's not the one that was concerning to me, so. But if we get a back under lease agreement, I was happy to see the 1650 was the right number. But I like the way we built the escalator last time. Mm-hmm. It just took on negotiations and discussions off the table.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to work well for both of us. I know there's language in here now that says that after 6 months we can go back and discuss it, but what does that sound like?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'd be a fan of putting a small escalator back in. I'm also a fan of I'd be interested in a small escalator.
Do you have, currently the escalator was $100 each month, $1,200 a year for the past escalator? Do you think something in that range or less than that?
My opinion was somewhere between, where we're at and maybe half of that. I was anxious to see what they would do for a tenant, and that it proved to be a good tenant.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a lot for the community, and I'm supportive of what they do as an organization.
Okay.
I love this theater for escalators, but it's been around to go back and discuss it.
So would the board like me to offer a $50 escalator instead of $100?
I'd be comfortable with that. That's one part of it.
All right, so I'll reach out to them, and if that's amenable, we can have council draft up a lease agreement for our next regular board meeting.
Okay. For me?
All right. Good. And as I mentioned during the audit meeting, agenda item 5 is the Waste Management of New York LLC contract. And our contract is expiring at the end of the year. My office reached out to Waste Management to see if they would entertain extending the term to their current agreement for 90 days so that we can prepare an RFP, get it out the door, get the results back within that time period. They are amenable to that, if the board would like to go that route. My recommendation would be to do that, to allow the existing terms of the contract to be extended for a period not to extend 90 days.
Yeah, I support that. That's worth it.
Do you have a copy of the resolution?
I do.
Okay. Would you like to read that?
Sure. Whereas the Town of Monroe entered into a service agreement with Waste Management of New York, LLC, for the disposal of municipal solid waste, and whereas the agreement between the Town and Waste Management was for the term of 24 months from the commencement of service on January 1, 2020, and whereas the Town and Waste Management have agreed to extend the agreement and its terms for a period not to exceed 90 days, now therefore be it resolved that the agreement and its terms are hereby extended, and be it further resolved that the town board authorizes the supervisor to sign an amendment to extend the agreement.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0. Council member Newman absent.
I think an amendment tomorrow.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Agenda item 6 is Recreation Department, a couple of items. First one is in relation to portable toilets. The rec leader is requesting use or lease or rental of one regular portable toilet and one handicap accessible portable toilet for use in the rec park for the period of January 1, 2022 through December 31st, 2022, which would include year-round cleaning and restocking. The first vendor quote is Stone Industries, Saratoga Springs. That price of that $248 for a 28-day billing cycle, which extrapolates to $3,232.86 per year. He reached out to Mountaintop Portable Toilets and Septic Service. They did not provide a quote. He also reached out to Party Poopers. They did not provide a quote. This would come out of account 87140.4, which has a current, which will have a, if I'm reading this right, which will have a balance of $86,400 on January 1, 2022. We had budgeted $3,300 for this, and he's recommended that we stay with Stone Industries, since we've used them for several years with no issues, and they're local and they come and do the weekly maintenance and clean out.
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 4-0. Next item we have, also on the rec, is the fee schedule for 2022 in relation to use of our fields and pavilions. And I know the board members have had this, I think this was available prior to the last board meeting. And with the new year coming up, he's looking for action on his recommendations. I think the rec committee has reviewed it. Do you want to, any member want to add to that, those, the review?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, no, the rec committee, Captain Hogan and myself, reviewed it, discussed it, spoke with the rec director. I know there were some additional comments provided by the clerk, which thank you for those. I think that's something to do with the fees. But the rec committee's supportive of the proposed increases that the architect has presented. The survey of the canvassing of the local communities and other rates that they charge warrant no concern. We're still priced very favorably. Number one. Number two, you know, that's a fee-based department for us, and there's unfortunately continuous increase in costs for us, and so the rec committee would be proposing the consideration and follow recommendation of the department. I do want to speak to one other item that the clerk could bring to our attention, just to make sure it was acknowledged. It was about the different fees we have for local versus out of town residents versus non-town residents as it relates to pavilion use. And she provided some numbers, 26 of 136 of the rentals last year were out of town, which is a small percentage, but because of the significant dollar difference, it does really attribute to more than twice what we collected off of the local one. So I know that we probably have, because it's just the way that some people are, we have a lot of folks renting, have to have people that live in the town that rent. The actual people using them, I think, are out of town. I don't know how we're going to get around that. But my concern about having one flat rate and getting rid of the out of town and the in town is that $2,200 collected from that 19% is double what we collected from the locals. So I think we still would like to have a higher rate for the out-of-towns, for those people that are honest. And I think that's fair to our local residents. We'll have to put another way to deal with the, those who want to try to make the system. So I did just want to speak to the concern that Bert brought up, that it was valid, and I looked at the numbers. I think it still makes sense to leave it as a recommendation.
Okay. And I know that the board members were provided with a comparison with other municipalities, Malta, Milton, Wilton, Glens Falls, Queensbury, and our increases and our current costs, for the most part, are still lower than our surrounding communities. And I'd also add that there has been no increase since 2020, so you know, it's gone 2 years, this will be the second year. We're just wrapping up this new increase. And as you know, everything is going up. We do have cost of labor is going up. So I don't think it's out of line to ask for the increase at this time.
Yeah, if we have the same usage in 2022 as we did in 2021, it could attribute or account for approximately additional $8,000 in revenue. Again, as I mentioned, that's fee-based department. I also don't know if that number is really that large when you think about the cost of our labor and the cost of inflation stuff. I think they have to do it. I think it's still fair and offer a great amenity to our public. So we're going to that part.
Any other comments?
No, I think that's
so what I would suggest or entertain a resolution to adopt the fee schedule for use of pavilions and fields as provided to the board that shall take effect January 1, 2022 as enumerated in the sheet provided by the record leader.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said, did I have it?
Oh,
I do have it.
Asked if you wanted it.
No, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
That was NASA talk. I'm good. I'm good.
No worries. And maybe get off that.
Next item I have is agenda item 7, building department. And just want to make the board aware, actually we have two issues. The first one is town board has received a copy of Mr. Hall's request for a zoning map change for his proposed PUD property in Route 9. I don't know if board members had an opportunity to review that, but Counselor, from the town board's perspective, what's the next step or options for the board now that we have received this? Do we have to review it? We decide. Is there a time frame that we're now that we've received a copy of this that kicks into play, or is it up to the discretion of the board when they want?
I think there's discretion of the board.
Okay,
I didn't see that before.
So I would recommend that the board review that documentation, probably have another conversation on it, the next board meeting, see what direction, I think we just got at the last board meeting, and over the holidays and lots of things going on, not everybody's probably had a chance to review it. So we'll take it up again on another board meeting, if that works for everybody. Possibly, if the board would like to do that. The other item under the building department, it's Point Drive letter of credit. We've received correspondence from the highway superintendent that he says there's no reason to hold it. However, in all the documentation I have, I can't tell you who the letter of credit is for. I don't have it in any of the correspondence. I have inspection reports by the LA group. I've got the highway superintendent. But nowhere does it mention private. So I don't know what the amount of letter credit is. I don't know who it is for. Unless somebody has correspondence, I don't have. So I guess you can't take action if you don't know what the dollar amount is and who it is.
Paul, can you hear us, if you're there? And if you're still there, you're muted.
I'm not sure if the highway superintendent is still online. If he is, could he weigh in on the Point Drive letter of credit? If he's not, then we will move on.
Well, he's there, but he's not engaging, so we're going to move on.
We'll move on, because I don't have enough information to provide it to the board in detail to move on tonight.
You have
the
September 13th remote call?
I do.
Okay.
Does it say what's for? Doesn't say who has letter of credit or how many.
No.
I'm not sure.
No.
I don't have
the whole thing.
Yeah, right. So, anyway, we will take it up when we receive additional information. This time, my recommendation would be to adopt the water superintendent's fee, water fee and penalty schedule as provided to us. I think you dropped it off today. They dropped off December 28th. The only number we'd have to come up with is where you want to be on that one-inch meter. Obviously, 280 doesn't cover the cost of the meter.
You might want to make a note to your point, your reference to get a frozen meter replacement, but if you go up top, second section, third section there, that's what the price is for the install.
So my recommendation would probably be to at least do the cost of the meter to us, what we're charging, which is $375 on our current schedule.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that means you would change the penalty on the frozen meter replacement. That would go from $280 to $375, and on water meters for one-inch diameter from $280 to $375.
I must not have the same schedule that you folks have, because I don't see $280.
Under water meters, you don't have that?
No. Oh, all right, I do have the wrong schedule. Okay.
Do you have Don's, the engineer?
I have one that came, I'm not sure who it came from now.
It's a whole different format.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I just got this from Mike today.
Yeah. So.
Okay, no, we'll go with what you guys have. Okay.
So I do want to highlight some significant changes. Previously we charged for installation of the water service, and Mike is recommending that we leave this up to the homeowner, which is pretty standard operating procedure. So we don't even have a fee anymore. We've gone from the standard tap price to not having a tap-in price. However, we do have the capacity and expansion fee listed in here at $2,000. And I think we were at $1,750, depending on the side of the road you're on.
It didn't matter which side of the road. It's just buying capacity.
Right. So he thought that was a little low after looking at our finances, so he's recommending we go to $2,000 per EDU. So, I don't know what the board's pleasure is, but we have to have something in place prior to January 1.
Well, I'm looking at the schedule.
Okay.
So, there's one in front of that.
No, it's included up at the top, the capital charge, 36 per EDU.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That's for my
Yeah, so basically, he's going through with the memo recommendations, and I think you have the engineer's recommendations in there, too, but obviously it's the water superintendent who's charged with operating the system and knows where we should be. And he's got 30 years of experience in it with a neighboring municipality, so.
Yeah, he aligned, besides those things you just mentioned, he also aligned sort of DEC's design standards.
Exactly.
There's a lot of consistency and
exactly. Yep, no question about it. So, any thoughts, comments?
It's a work in progress. You and your office working with him. I appreciate the work he did.
So if the board would like to act on it tonight, my recommendation would be to adopt the what he calls it, sewer. I don't think we have sewer in here. Water rate fee penalty schedule based on the superintendent recommendations as provided to the board on December 28th, 2021. With the changes previously mentioned of increasing the one-inch diameter meter install from the 280 figure to 375, and also similarly the frozen meter replacement of a one-inch diameter from 280 to 375.
Do we need to reference
No, no, just the fee schedule.
Motion to approve.
Any discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0, council member Noonan absent. Alright, so that'll help you. I'm going to go, so just so you know, we'll get you a copy of this, but I'm doing the letter.
Okay.
To the residents that are impacted by this, with a little explanation of, what happened, why we did it.
Good.
So, because my office didn't get called up anyway, for the most part. Or your office didn't transfer into my
That's
office.
Right.
But can I ask that for a quick, did you get clarification on the exchange you're having with Carla when you sent to the water committee?
I have not gotten clarification yet. Yes, we're going to be billing January 1st for water usage in December.
Can I ask the clerk to summarize your concerns and our recommendation?
So there was a question that came up from the contracted water superintendent when I asked him about, you know, when the rates would take effect, and he said that it would be his opinion that we wouldn't be charging for December usage with the new rates. But then when I asked him how we would do that come March 1st, when people had old water before January 1st, that didn't make sense to me. So then I kind of ran it by council, and Carla asked me to reach out to the board and the water committee to see what your opinions were on this. My opinion is that if the rates are effective January 1st, and I'm billing it January 1st, then we should be using the new rates for the monthly customers, even though the usage was in December. The rates are effective January 1st. That would be my opinion, but it's kind of a gray area. I'm being told not to, that it wouldn't be proper, so.
So, well, how about this? So the money received will be for the town's fiscal year for 2022.
Correct.
I think, knowing that, that they should be billed based on, because the rates went up.
Right.
Higher than receiving the bill.
Right. That would be mine.
So I think I would go with that.
And that follows the pattern of the way the facts that are listed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would stick with that.
Follow the first recommendation.
Yep.
Okay.
You okay with that?
Yeah, all absolutely.
Right. Board is okay with that?
Yes. All right.
Water department, supervisor items, just a few items. So we have to set the organizational meeting for January where we adopt our operating resolutions. I'm talking with my office just to make sure they have enough time. I can't do January 5th because that's the county organizational meeting. However, I could do the 4th or the 6th. I asked if they had enough time for the resolutions if we did the 4th. They indicated the yes, but I don't know what the board schedule is.
Well, I apologize, what day are you focused on?
The 4th or the 6th of January.
Either works for me.
John's out, so I'll leave it to council member Dan.
The
4th? Okay, 6 o'clock.
Yes,
perfectly. Oh, early?
No, earlier than all. All
right, so we'll need a resolution to establish the organizational meeting for 2022 on January 4th at 6 p.m.
So,
all in favor?
Yes.
Any opposed? There you have it. 4-0. Just a reminder, anybody who's required to take your oaths of office, I think everybody's probably gotten them taken care of at this stage. I don't know, has the highway superintendent taken?
I have everybody but two people.
Okay, and you're writing them? Or
mm-hmm.
You want me to, okay. Really good news. So I wanted to announce on the record that the town of Moreau was successful in obtaining a $250,000 grant from the New York State Parks Recreation and Historic Preservation Office for our trail along the Hudson River beginning at Nolan Road, which is awesome. I received a lot of positive feedback. I actually have people that want to volunteer to work on that project. And this requires a 20% matching grant, and we've been notified for a third year that we're now over $30,000 in trail money from the county, which we had applied for that purpose. So lots of great things will be happening. We have money to do it down there off of Nolan Road.
He is.
That's a great project.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah. So that's all I have for supervisor items, committee reports. I do not have anything for committee reports. Anybody have anything for committee reports?
No, I'll take this opportunity to just to thank the council and Holden for his time serving on the board, and then we're moving on to hearing town justice. John, for a pleasure.
Hey, thank you.
Yes, absolutely. To have somebody as committed to what we try to do here at the local government level, active in the community, active in key areas of interest, recreation, things like that, really helped to move the town forward. So I would like to also thank you for your service.
Thank you.
And wish you great success in your new role. I know you're not going anywhere, and you probably will be looking forward. Now the budget's already done for 2022 for justice. So, but thank you.
Thank you. I got a good support staff here, and I think it's going to work out well.
Yeah, no question about it. We do need a brief executive session for an update on contract negotiations with CSEA, as well as we have an issue that comes up.
59
Hudson, regarding our sales contract.
That's the same 61?
That's 59 to 61. So, with that, entertain a motion in a second.
Motion to adjourn the session.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any votes? Motion carries unanimously. Hopefully, it'll be real quick.
No.
Okay, I'm paying a portion.
Portion is all good.
Councilmember Brown, and you all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much, everyone. Have a great new year. We'll see you on the other side.
Thank you.